Have you seen that Capital One commercial where when they get to the end, they always ask the question, what's in your wallet? Yeah, what's in your wallet? And a question like that, especially when we're talking about generosity, tends to come to the surface of our minds. We immediately want to ask ourselves, what is in my wallet? What am I able to give? And then the other question is, how much am I willing to part with? And last week, we learned that that's really not the best question to start with. We looked at a section of the Bible. It was written almost 2,000 years ago, or over 2,000 years ago. And it was talking about this congregations, these groups of churches who were in the land of Macedonia, who were going through extreme poverty, and yet they welled up in rich generosity, that in spite of their circumstances, they were willing to give. And it's because they didn't ask what's in our wallet, they asked the question, what is in our heart? And so that's the question we all need to ask, is what is in my heart? What motivates me to give? What is it that motivates you to donate money to those who are poor and oppressed? What is it that motivates you to help your neighbor who is in need? What is it that motivates you to give an offering to support your local congregation or to support a foreign mission? Once you figure that out, then you can start asking yourself, what should I be giving away? Now, the last time the Apostle Paul, a famous believer in Jesus Christ, also a prolific church planter, gave us all the motivation we need. And what he did was he brought us back to God's grace. He talked to us about all the gifts that God has given us. And he reminded us that our God is our eternal Father, and he is the owner of every last speck of dust in this vast universe, meaning that he owns everything, and therefore everything you have, everything I have, is from God. And I know our sinful self wants to push back against that, because some of you, you've grown up, you didn't ask for anything from anybody, nobody gave you anything, you worked hard, you worked from the ground up to become who you are and have what you have today. But the reality is, the only reason you have all this, the only reason you've reached this pinnacle, is because God in his grace has given it to you. Everything you have, your talents, your intuition, your ability to seal a deal, your creativity, artistry, your determination, your grit, your ability to solve problems are all gifts from God that he's given you to use to get to where you are today. There is no such thing as a self-made man or woman, because God made you and God uniquely gifted you with the talents that you have. And God loves to lavish his gifts on us. That is his greatest desire. And the more that he lavishes on us, and the more that we become generous through his generosity, the more he gives to us. And the beautiful thing is, you cannot outgive your Heavenly Father. Try it. It can't happen. Your Heavenly Father, just like your earthly dad, actually no better than your earthly dad, will always make sure that you have what you need: food, clothing, and shelter. He loves to lavish his gracious gifts on you. And here's the thing about God's grace, is that even when we're stingy with what he's given us, he continues to be generous. Even when we're tight-fisted with our money, God is open-handed. Even when we give begrudgingly, he still is giving joyfully. And when we misuse the gifts that God gives us, graciously, he continues to use us for his kingdom purposes. And how many times have you elevated your wants or your needs above somebody else's? How many times when someone has come to you asking for help and you said no? How many times have I? More times than I want to admit. And yet, even in those times, our gracious God humbled himself. He lowered himself from his majestic throne in heaven, and he came down to this earth to be like one of us, like one of his creations, to suffer what we suffer, to struggle through the temptations that we struggle through, to die the death we're all going to die, so that he could overwhelm us by his grace, so that God in his mercy could forgive you and me for every time that we have been tight-fisted, every time we have been stingy or begrudging when we give. God came to forgive us. Jesus Christ, our God, was rich, yet he became poor, so that you and I might become rich towards him and towards each other. That is our motivation to be generous. That's what needs to be in our hearts and in our minds when we think about opening our wallets. And yes, eventually we have to open our wallets. And what I mean by that is use the gift that God has given us to help others. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to get into today in the section of scripture that we're going to look at. Last week, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Today, we're going to look at verses 10 through 15. And if you're just joining, I want to give you the background of this section. What was going on is there was a lot of people in Jerusalem, a lot of Christians who were suffering poverty. And the churches in Macedonia and Greece were welled up. And they said, you know, we want to help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They were talking about taking up an offering and giving. And so the Apostle Paul is going to encourage them in this desire. Take a look with me at verse 10. And Paul writes, "And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." So the previous year, the Corinthian church, who he's writing to, were the first ones that said, hey, we want to help our friends over in Jerusalem. And not only did they say it, they had this desire, but then they started to put together a plan, taking up offerings and saying, all right, how do we come up with this help to be able to send over there? But as time passed, so did their motivation, so did their desire, and it started to fade. Has that ever happened to you? You hear about an initiative, you're excited about helping out, giving some donations, maybe even getting involved in serving, you're ready to go, but then there's a pause, time passes, and then all of a sudden your enthusiasm fades away, and you don't do anything. You start it, but you don't finish it. It happens to all of us. And that's why we need people like Paul who are honest and willing to have some uncomfortable conversations with us. And mind you, Paul is full of grace when he's having this conversation with the Corinthians. He's full of grace as he's reminding us through these words. And he says this. He says, finish the work. You started it, now finish it. And the reason for this is because Paul knew that 9 times out of 10, is that the way that God helps his people is through his people. Not through miracles. Now, God can use miracles. He has used miracles. We have evidence of that throughout Scripture. We have evidence of that in our lives. But normally, when you're in trouble, God doesn't send angels. He sends fellow Christians. Think about this. When you're having a difficult time, you're stuck in your own thoughts in your mind, and you reach out to God, you pray to him, more often than not, what does he do? He sends somebody to sit there and listen to your problems. He lets you get it off your chest to that other individual, and then they're able to pray with you and give you godly advice. When you're stuck in your own mind and you're suffering with your conscience is overburdened because of a sin you committed, and you pray to God, please forgive me. God's forgiveness is ready and available. It's yours. But oftentimes, what he also does is he sends you someone you can confess to. A fellow Christian that you can share with. And when you share that person right then and there is able to take you right back to the cross and the empty tomb and tell you these amazing words, you are forgiven. God answers that prayer through sending you an individual. The easiest one, when you're sick or you're injured and you pray to God, help me, who does he normally put in your path? Doctors, nurses, medical staff. God gives you the answer through his people. When you're suffering financially and you're wondering, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to put food on the table? More often than not, God sends his people to help his people. Now, here's a profound thought. If you want to write this down, go for it. But here's the reality. God uses you and me to answer the prayers of those who are in need. God uses you and me to answer the prayers of those who are in need. And this is where Paul gets very practical. He's going to show us how we get to help others with our gifts from God. And this is what he says at the very end there. Read it with me. According to your means. And what that means is, he says, I want you to help. I want you to give according to what you have. And that's what he says in verse 12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Again, in this process of generosity, the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, what's in my heart? What's motivating me to give? And at that moment, step back and just visualize what Christ Jesus has done for you. Think about it. Okay? And once you think about that, then you get to ask, what's in your wallet? What are you willing to give? And the operative words there are you and yours. Because God is not asking us to say, well, what's in my neighbor's wallet? He's not asking you to think about that. That doesn't matter. Your neighbor obviously is going to have different gifts from God. They may have more, they may have less. And when it comes to generosity, God does not want us sinfully comparing ourselves to each other, because that undermines our ability to be generous. So let's say that you came to church today with a $50 bill in your pocket, and that's what you were going to put in the offering plate. So as you're walking out, there's someone in front of you, and they pull out two $100 bills, and they put that there. And you're looking around, and you're like, ooh, that's way more than I have. And you're scrounging around, you're looking in your wallet, this is all I got. All I got is 50. They just put 200 bucks in there. I don't have 200 bucks. Ugh. And so instead of being embarrassed, if someone else sees that you gave less than that other person, you decide, you know what, I'm not even going to give anything today. And now you undermine your ability to be generous because you just compared yourself to your neighbor, to someone else who God has gifted differently than you. Or let's go to the opposite extreme. Let's say that we're having a clothing donation, a drive for those who are homeless, and you come in one day with 10 bags of clothes over your shoulder. You come in, you drop those off. As you're leaving, there's somebody who has one little small bag as they walk in. And you look at them, you're like, I gave way more than they did. And in that moment, what have you just done? You've undermined your willingness, and what you've replaced it with is sinful pride. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Your gift is acceptable before God, not because of the quantity, not because of how much you give, but because of why you give. Because of what is in your heart, based on what God has blessed you with. And that's the thing I want to talk about now, is what has God blessed you with? And in the realm of generosity, it's very important for us to do some inventory, take some inventory, and look at our lives and see where God has blessed us, especially in the realm of talents and treasures. And in God's church, in this family of believers, God has blessed each and every one of us with our unique talents. Not so that you can compare yourself to the person sitting next to you or across from you, but so that you can complement them, so that we can work together. And the Apostle Paul, in two of his other letters, in Romans and in 1 Corinthians, he uses the analogy of the body. And he says the church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Without the head, we don't function, right? Jesus is the head of the body. And then we are the various body parts, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the arms, the hands, the feet, and the legs. We all fit together. We're all different. We're all unique, but we have our different roles that we get to carry out. In our faith family here, as I look out and I think about the various talents that God has blessed you all with, we have artists, we have musicians, we have people who love children, we have people who love the elderly, we have those that have the gift of administration, those who are able to teach, those who are mathematically just way smarter than I am when it comes to that. There are so many gifts that God has given us. And God has given you those gifts to bless our church community and our communities and our neighborhoods where we live. And that's why it's important for you to take inventory. Look at what God has gifted you with and ask him specifically through prayer. Say, God, how would you like me to use these talents to bless others? And when you ask that, be ready for him to answer you and be ready to take action. As Paul said, finish the work. Be generous with your talents. And the same is true for your treasures. It's important for you to take inventory of what God has blessed you with financially so that you can give back to him according to your means. Now, once you figure out how much God has blessed you with, and I'm talking to everybody here, whether you're a child in grade school, you're in middle school, you're in high school, you're in college, you're a full-time worker, you're retired, whatever the case may be, is to look at how has God blessed me financially. But then the big question is, how do you decide what to give back? In the Old Testament, God's people, we know them as the Israelites, God gave them this directive. He said, I have given you 100% of everything you have. And what I'd like you to do is give me back a tithe, which is 10%. Now, if you're a mathematician, this works out pretty well because, first of all, they had 0% without God. With God, they have 100%, and God now asks for 10% back. So how much do they get to have? How much do they get to keep? Shout it out. 90%. That's a lot, right? They get to keep 90%. And on top of that, what God is doing is using that 10% that they give to help the widows and the orphans and the Levitical priests. I don't know if you knew this or not, but so the land of Israel, the people of Israel, were divided up into 12 tribes. And when God brought them out of Egypt into the promised land, he gave them each an allotment of land. Now, only 11 of those tribes got land. The 12th tribe, the Levites, did not. Now, when you have land, what do you have to do? You have to care for it. You have to take care of it. You grow your crops. You use it to feed your animals. Well, the Levites were dedicated to full-time ministry, to sharing the word of God with the other Israelites. That's all they had time to do. And because they didn't have allotment for land, they didn't have time to grow crops or to feed their animals. And so the offerings that were brought in were meant to bless their priests so that they could continue to minister to God's people and help them to worship the Lord. So God commanding the Israelites to give a tithe did a few things. First of all, it taught them to trust that even if we give back a little bit, that our Heavenly Father is going to continue to provide for us. It also taught them to be generous. They say, hey, there are people amongst us that don't have a lot. They're in difficult circumstances. So how do we bless them and make sure that they can have their needs met? And then thirdly, this was God's way of teaching his people to say, thank you. God, you've given us all these things, these talents, these gifts, this time here on earth. This is how we get to say thank you. Now, in next week's lesson that we're going to talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul touches on this very same topic about giving back to God. But what's interesting is in that section, he does not mention the tithe. He does not mention giving back 10%. This is what he does say. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the point is, God is not restricting us to the tithe. He's allowing us, through Christ, who has given us all freedom, to sit back and say, what do I want to give back to support gospel ministry? What do I want to give to help others come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And here at our church, we encourage all of you, I don't care how old you are, to think about percentage giving. Giving a percentage of what you earn of your income towards gospel ministry, whether that's to support the ministry here at Faith or to support any other ministry that is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And maybe you want to portion it out. You give a part to the church, you give a part to this other ministry. Whatever it is, that's on you. That's what you get to decide. But the reason we encourage percentage giving and not giving a certain amount is because your financial circumstances will inevitably change. When people give a certain dollar amount towards gospel ministry and their income either goes up or down, one of two things can happen. If it goes down, the temptation is, well, I can't maintain my current offering, so I'm not going to give anything. Or if your income goes up, but you don't take a look at your finances and you don't increase your offering, what you're no longer doing is giving according to your means. And let me make this practical for you. When I served in Detroit, quite a few of our members were seasonal workers. So that meant that they were outside when it was warm. Many of them did landscaping, cut grass, cut trees. And so when the weather was nice, they worked hard. When it was raining outside, they weren't able to work. So I'm going to use some very basic math. As I've admitted many, many times, God has not given me the talent of numbers. So I'm going to use just very small numbers. They don't make any sense in the sense of nobody would only make this amount in a week. But here's the thing. Let's say one of our workers is earning $100 a week. I know that's a low number, but let me just go with me, okay? So he's making $100 a week. He's decided in his heart, I want to give $10 to God. But if it's only based on, I'm always going to give $10 to God each week, and then his salary from week to week, all of a sudden it goes down because it was raining. Now it's 50 bucks that he earned this week, and he looks at that $10 offering, he's like, ah, I don't think I can do that this week. And so all of a sudden, he undermines his ability to be generous, and he doesn't give anything at all to support gospel ministry. Now switch that scenario. Let's say he's decided in his heart to give a percentage, and he's decided to give 10%. So he makes $100 a week. 10% of 100 is $10, okay? Well, next week, it rains. He makes $50, but he's giving a percentage. He says, well, okay, I made 50 bucks this week. I've dedicated my heart to give God 10% of my income, so now he's going to give how much in his offering? $5. Well, next week, he's got tons of overtime. It's beautiful outside. It's in the 90s. They can't stop working. He makes $250, and he's dedicated to giving 10% to the Lord. How much does he give that Sunday? $25. Work goes back down. He makes $75 in the week, but he's given 10%. How much does he give that Sunday? This is the harder one. $7.50. The point is this. God doesn't care how much you give. God cares why you give it. And when you give a percentage, it frees you to be generous no matter how much or how little you make. A big reason for churches having envelopes is so that when you put your money in that envelope, nobody can see what you're giving. Nowadays, we have online giving. Nobody knows what you're giving when you give online, right? It's between you and God. It's not between you and anybody else. God loves a cheerful giver, and he wants you to give according to your means. And what I'd like to do is encourage you that this week of Thanksgiving, that you take time to really think about how has God blessed you in all aspects of your life. Write it down. Visualize it. You know, the weirdest thing is when you're mad about something, like the last bad conversation you had with someone, can you remember what that person was wearing, what their breath smelled like? Like, and all of a sudden it starts to make you angry on the inside as you're recounting that story to somebody else. Try doing that with your Thanksgiving. That as you contemplate what God, all the good things God has done for you, just visualize that. Put yourself back in that moment and go, wow, yeah, that was fun. That was amazing. Oh, that was so cool. And take note of those things. And as a way of saying thank you to God is to do an inventory of what he has given you financially and think about how you can give back a percentage to support gospel ministry. Again, it doesn't have to be all of your money, like the widow that we talked about earlier, but whatever you decide in your heart to give back to God. A tool that I think is very helpful for this is called everydollar.com. There's many apps. This one's free. That's why I like it. But what it allows you to do is plug in your budget. So how much do you make? And right off the bat, it says, how much do you want to give away to gospel ministry? And then you start to plug in how much you pay for your car, how much you pay for gas, how much you pay for groceries. And it's just a simple way to calculate, to take inventory of what God has blessed you with, and then how you can be more generous. Also, it has tools there to help you if you find yourself in debt. And honestly, debt is one of the biggest obstacles to being generous. And to have tools like this to help you take steps forward so that you're no longer a slave to the lender, but that you have the freedom to use your money to bless others is such a huge thing. Now, creating a budget or at least examining your current one is going to take some time and intentionality on your part. But it's important that you do that, because what I want you to understand is that everything you've been given has been given for a purpose. What you have is not given to you so that you can hoard it. It's not given to you so that you can build a kingdom here on this earth. What God has given you is so that you can continue to further his kingdom, so that you can bless other people, so that you can be answers to prayers. And so I encourage you to use this app, any app, or pen and paper, and write it all out and say, God, what have you blessed me with, and how can I give back in return? With that said, I want to give you the final words of motivation that the Apostle Paul gives us here. He says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed. So in none of this is Paul saying, all right, these people are hurting, so give all your money away, and then all of a sudden we're hurting on this side. He's like, that's not the point of this. But that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn your plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. What Paul's reiterating with these words is that our Heavenly Father normally takes care of his people through his people. He typically uses us to be the answer to prayers. And as I have gotten to know all of you better and better, I have seen many of you be the answer to prayers through your generosity, through your time, your talents, and your treasures. It is overwhelming to me. But this is what I want you to understand. There may be a time where you're in need, where you cry out to God, please help me. And when someone comes knocking on your door, when someone gives you a phone call, when someone emails you and says, I'm here to help, please don't push that person away. Please allow them to help you, just like you have helped others in the past. This is how we grow in the grace of giving. And that's what it's all about, is that as we grow in God's grace, we also reflect it to each other. There are times where we'll be in need, and there will be times when others are in need. But the goal, as Paul says, is equality. So as each of us grows in this grace of giving, the question that I want to be on your hearts constantly is, what is in my heart, not your wallet, what's in my heart? And think about Jesus, and then go to that next step. What is in your wallet? What is in your wheelhouse? Take inventory of the talents and the treasures that God has given you, and ask him intentionally, say, God, how do you want me to use these to serve others? And when he responds, I'll tell you like Paul says, finish the work. Because Christ Jesus himself has finished the work on our behalf. The reason we can be generous is because our Heavenly Father is generous. Let's pray. Lord, I am honestly excited to see how you're going to work through your people and through me. Because God, you've given us everything we need and more. And Lord, we pray that we would be intentional, not just this week of Thanksgiving, but every day, every week of our lives, to look at what you have given us and to use these things to bless others. Because God, the best investment we can ever make here on this earth is in your kingdom, so that more people may know you as their Savior. Help us to do that, Jesus. Help us to finish the work. It's in your name we pray. Amen.